Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the LA Steel Show. I'm Lila.
And Leo. And tonight's Friday night, and we have George Dixon joining us shortly. And, excuse me. And we will be talking about the Mayan calendar tonight and a few other events. So we have George with us. And hello, George. How are you?
How you doing, Leo? Hi, Lila.
Hi, how are you?
Okay, I missed you guys.
Oh, good. Nice to be missed.
It's been a few weeks there, but no, I've been thinking about you.
Oh, good. I hope it was good thoughts.
Oh, sure. It's always good. Always good. I mean, times are going so quick right now, and we're in that fall season, I guess.
Yeah, we're due for a frost as well, so I think fall is definitely here. The trees are all changing, and it's a beautiful season.
It is. So a lot of people, they don't live in areas like the Northeast. And, you know, they have their own beauty. But right now I think it's one of the most loveliest times of the year. And that's upstate New York, of course.
So you're enjoying it, huh?
That I am. So what's been new with you folks?
Well, not much. We're just moving along here, thinking about the Mayan calendar as usual and thinking about the changes. And, of course, I was surprised to hear...
Getting over the flu whatever it was.
Leo's getting over a bad cold. He had one for 3 weeks, so I've been lucky I didn't catch it. But I was surprised this morning to find that Obama got the
Peace Prize.
And
yeah, what did you think of these morons bombing the moon?
I don't know what the hell they were doing there, but we've known for years that there's water on the moon. I think it's just bringing it out into the public level where they understand. You know, there's water on the moon, and I don't know, is it successful or not?
Well, they're acting like they don't know if there's water on the moon. They don't know anything, and you know they try to blow up a crater. I mean, you know, it was the biggest disappointment because everyone was expecting to see some kind of explosion, and they saw nothing.
Well, it would be delayed anyway.
Well, regardless, they didn't get it.
Nope.
They didn't see anything. So it was like, but the silliest part about it, and the most maddening part about it, and the most stupid part about it, is they spent $79 million to do it.
Uh-huh.
I mean, what complete and utter idiots, you know? And, you know, I don't even know why we need this NASA program anyway. It's just a burden, and a very expensive burden.
Well, I know, Leo, but it puts a lot of people to work, and a lot of people work for the government, and of course they're making a buck or two. But our money is going somewhere, Leo, and it's at least you can see it there in action. But I'm saying these are projects that are put in motion. That we know, you know, we've known for 20 years is water on the moon. We know a lot more about the moon, but this stuff is not public knowledge. So now it's a matter of just bringing it out into the open, some of the public knowledge, or some of the knowledge the public should hear about and know about, besides water being on the moon.
Did you get that email I sent you, by the way?
I seen some emails, but I haven't been able to read them.
Oh, no, the one on the protests. The Tea Party protests?
Oh, yes, huh?
Did you see that one?
Yes, I did.
What'd you think of it?
I don't know what to think of it.
I mean, that's the kind of freaking mentality that there is out there. Unbelievable.
Uh-huh.
That's totally unbelievable.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, but they're united, though, Leo.
I don't want to discuss that anymore. I want to talk more about the fact that If they already knew that there was water on the moon, and
yeah.
Do you think that there was another reason they bombed that crater?
Oh, I don't know, possibly, but does it matter?
Oh, I was just curious.
Mm-hmm.
No, I was just curious, that's all. I just wondered if there was another reason or if you maybe had some thoughts on that, since it was already sort of like an open secret that everybody knew there was water there.
Yeah.
So,
well,
anyway.
You know, I got some news, and some of the news I think had Richard Hoagland connected with it.
Oh.
And he came out with a book, The Monuments on Mars. But there was a lot of things that Richard knew about the moon that he had from NASA, and he released this years ago. And I thought water was one of the aspects that he brought out. But I think it was Bill Cooper who actually talked about it. But also he worked within the government, and he knew about some of these different projects. And one project that he talked about is supplying, I guess, knowledge on the atmosphere of surviving with the atmosphere of the moon. And, you know, the a person would be able to survive with just a small oxygen tank.
Really?
That's right. Mm-hmm.
That's hard to believe.
That is. It is. But there could be a possibility.
Well, anyway.
Well, you know, it does make you ask, you know, why are they doing this with the moon? And I don't know. There's been some publicity in the last couple of months or the last couple of years about, you know, going back to the moon. So, you know, it could be, you know, just part of the staging, the process of getting money allocated to, you know, to do that.
Mhm. Well, I'm sure it'll be worthwhile. We just don't know exactly. They don't tell us everything, or they tell us very little.
Well, they tell you about the possibilities of mining on the moon. You know,
yeah.
And how practical is that, really?
Yes. I guess there'll be all kind. That's what maybe what they're looking for. To find out what really is there underneath
uh-huh.
the surface, and just like everything else, we're willing to exploit everything. We exploit every country around us. So why not try to exploit every planet around us?
Frankly, I felt like we insulted the moon today
by
bombing it.
By bombing it.
I mean, I felt that we. I mean.
Do you think he has the right to do that?
No, the arrogance, the absolute insanity and arrogance of this administration, of this country, of these idiots in NASA, all right, that just have the arrogance to send a bomb, okay, into the moon, all right? You know, it's like, I don't know, it just overwhelms me, you know, that we are this way. These are the same bastards that sent up an atom bomb and blew up the atmosphere here, all right, back in the 60s or so, all right, and we've been having an ozone problem ever since, all right. So it's like, you know, there's just these guys are complete and utter assholes, and they don't. I mean, you know,
that's your opinion,
I mean, they create these demonic weapon systems. They create these.
They do.
NASA creates weapon systems. They create the satellites that blow up the goddamn Earth. You know, that surveillance everybody and
that's
and
different from something
God knows
that blows
what others. Yeah, but they're all involved in rocket propulsion and you know every other god awful thing. So whatever comes from NASA, okay, is used
NASA.
In the military. All right. So it's like you know that's the way it goes. And you know, what the hell. I mean, what were they trying to prove? That we're so impervious we're so superior a country that we can even bomb the moon.
Now let us not draw this out of proportion, Leo. The reason why they bomb the moon is to see if they can detect water on the ground or in the atmosphere. And you know, you make it sound like they're actually annihilating the moon. What they're doing is just setting off a small explosive, so they can read it in the atmosphere. It's no big thing. I mean, we've been blowing things up here on this earth for years and years.
I know that.
You know, we didn't do such a bad thing there.
Yeah, but George, it's the arrogance of it, the insanity of it. I mean,
well, yes. I think the insanity is of not keeping the focus on Mars because that's where the focus is. You know, who's to say that this may be just a diversion to break ourselves, you know, away from the projects or the focus on Mars, and that's where our focus has been.
That's
but, you know, you can go and question again some of the people that have questioned, did we really go to the moon to begin with? And
yeah,
was it a one big hoax?
I don't think we did. And I'll tell you, I mean, this bombing the moon thing just makes absolutely no sense. I mean, for $79 million.
But it does make sense, Leo.
Huh?
But it does make sense. If it will answer a question or two that the scientific community has, that's great.
George.
So, you know, I'm just curious on how much it costs, you know, for the curiosity's sake, you know, to do that.
If they sent me $79, I would have happily sent them the answer to the question. Yes, water on.
I know.
From hell. I mean, what's the problem with these people? I mean, it's a diversion away from the war in Afghanistan, the war in Iraq, the war pending with Iran. All right, the economic collapse of the entire world. Yeah. So what do? We bomb the moon. All right. That's like insanity. But I don't care. I don't care. I remember Ian Lungold said, "In the end times here, right now in the sixth day and so on, the world, everything is going to be insane. Everybody will be insane. And the only way anybody can stay at all sane is by following their own intuition and following their own minds, okay? They're not minds, but their own intuition, staying in the zone, if you will. And as far as I'm concerned, everybody is out of their freaking minds, all right, to be loving this kind of stuff, all right? It's just craziness.
Well, it's like money, Leo. Money makes the world go around, or you know, it's like fertilizer. You water you fertilize the grass and plants, and they grow. And who's to say, you know, this is just not another illusion, you know, to keep the troops happy. In the meanwhile, you know, I don't believe they want to send all these soldiers to Afghanistan. You know, we have enough of our troops on foreign soils.
Well, about Obama getting the Peace Prize. I mean, what the hell? The guy's fighting two wars, planning to go into another war. I mean, the guy orders the death of three pirates, a couple of months back. You know, he shoots him in the head, boom, bang, boom. I mean, this guy's a peaceful guy?
Oh.
I don't know. I mean, to me, George, I mean, the whole Obama thing, everything I'm seeing for the last, I don't know, 10 years has made absolutely no sense, and it's making less and less sense as it gets closer to the end time.
For you,
For me.
But take a look at other people's point of view and other belief systems, Leo. You know, I was kind of surprised when I heard that Obama got a Nobel Prize, and yet what has he done, really?
Yeah.
And the international community looks at it as, you know, if nothing else, that he's able to communicate with the rest of the world and, you know, raise above, the norms and look at it from a humanistic point of view. And he's open for changes. And that's kind of scary, but, you know, this is how the international society sees him.
Thing he says. I just don't believe him anymore. I don't believe anything he's saying. Anything he's doing, it's just a crock of crap. And this huge Nobel Peace Prize, all right, is just declaring a man of peace so that he possibly won't go to war with anyone more. Okay, it's the most hypocritical aspect of this entire Nobel process as it is.
Well, the process, they gave one to Henry Kissinger.
Yeah, I mean this murdering genocidaire. Okay, they gave it to Kissinger after he blew up, 3 million Cambodians. You know what I mean?
I don't have any respect for that prize, though.
No.
You can't say that there's a reason for it. That it's coming to the surface now, and if nothing else, to recycle itself for what it is. What comes around goes around, and you know if some of those negative aspects are going to have to come out of this. Let it happen now. Just
well, nobody
like,
respects the prize anymore. Nobody can respect that prize after they give it to a guy like this, right, for doing nothing. other than being elected president. I mean, he's done nothing. All right? So it's like nothing in terms of peace.
You know how the Nobel Peace Prize started, Leo?
No. Go ahead.
The guy who invented dynamite made a lot of money. And he needed some kind of an avenue to vent some of this extra money that he was getting from dynamite. So understand that it was power that originally started this this movement into where it's come to now in recognition, I think, for powerful leaders.
Maybe
there's a lot to Obama that we haven't seen yet, and maybe this first year that he's been in office is just a wind-up for something that's coming next year, year after.
I think the Nobel Peace Prize is kind of a sham. They gave it to Henry Kissinger. They gave it to Al Gore. They gave it to Jimmy Carter. He deserved it, though.
Well, yeah, more so than anybody else, but
yeah.
Still.
They
gave it to Mother Teresa.
Yeah.
Mother Teresa, yeah.
Yeah, but those were the days when it meant something. Mother Teresa, Martin Luther King, people like that. But
somebody was telling me about an email that they got that, some of the members that were in line, for the Nobel Peace Prize, that there was a woman who saved something like 26,000 Jews helped to save 26,000 Jews during Nazi Germany. And she was turned down for the Nobel Peace Prize to Al Gore, I believe. But, this is something this woman actually did for society. Al Gore, I'll tell you what, there's a lot to him that is still coming out. And I think this focus on the environment is one big screen for some political move. But here again, it's the way things are, so... We'll see how it pans out.
Invested in green energy, he's invested in nuclear energy, and he's made his mega fortune in oil, and coal. So he's still invested in coal and oil, but now he's invested in nuclear power, and he's invested in green power.
Right.
And all of these things are doing nothing but depleting the resources of the earth.
Green power is carbon power, because you can tax carbon.
No, yeah, exactly. But green power is insane. It's totally insane what they're doing. They're creating this. They're using corn and sugar and whatnot for ethanol, right? It's driving up the cost of corn. It's tripled and quadrupled the cost of corn to the point that what's happened is it's caused massive
starvation.
Food shortages and starvation around the world and these third world countries that depend on corn. All right. So, and sugar plantations and sugar and whatnot.
Yeah.
So these guys are the ultimate crooks and thieves, and they're shams, man. And they're out there promoting this crap, and everybody is swallowing it up. And it's making me sick, George.
Well, yeah, they are swallowing it up, Leo. But also the truth is coming out. So if you make a mistake, you're going to get caught. You're going to get caught with it. And that's what's happening right now. I mean, you're weeding out the crooks from the bunch right now, and we'll see where it goes.
I don't think people are falling for it. I think a lot of people are saying this is ridiculous.
I think they see it for what it is, and, the veil has been lifted. It's one big illusion, and, it's like an onion. You pull one bit off, and you see more of the picture, and there's another veil after that. So that's the veil we've been living in, the illusion.
Yeah.
And I think those illusions are breaking down because people, a few years back, they wouldn't have said anything.
Well, they're more than breaking down. They broke down. And that's why we're in a situation we are. What was it? How many people lost a job last month? Another 400,000? And it's continuing to go up and up and up. And, we're going into a winter, but we'll see what happens.
Lost their jobs, plus 400,000 more people lost their unemployment benefits. All right,
yeah.
Of unemployment benefits. So I mean, essentially, you got a horrible situation.
So
and then, I'm sorry. And then on top of all that, you know, you're dealing with bombing the moon. I mean, but what I was going to get at is that these commentators that Lyle was talking about, yeah, you're seeing it. They're seeing the cynicism come about. You're seeing them react to this stuff because they can't justify it themselves anymore because they're getting emails every day. They're getting tons and tons of emails from people saying, "You're a freaking jerk. What's the matter with you?"
No, they're getting more than that. They're getting text messaging right as they're on their show.
Oh, yeah, yeah, Twitter.
People are talking to them on Facebook right then. That's what they're hearing. It's not emails that are passed.
Emails, Facebooks, Twitters, all this crap. People are going after them and going after the mainstream media. And so what's happening is these people know that they can't lie anymore. So they're doing a good job at lying and covering it up, but, you know, they can't really do it anymore.
The fabric's all coming apart.
Yeah, it's coming apart. So they're starting to question and say, wait a minute, this doesn't make any sense. I was laughing this morning at what's his name? Morning Joe. Joe Scarborough. I don't know if you ever watch that.
No, I don't.
But well, it's kind of funny because he was questioning the whole Obama thing this morning, right? How the hell did he get the prize? And he got an email from the White House that said, "Why are you Why are you being such an a-hole?" All right, and then he was getting beaten up by Rush Limbaugh on the right, saying that he's a traitor to the conservative cause and that he's a moderate wimp, and so he was getting killed from the left and killed from the right, and it was really funny because that's the power of the text messaging, that's the power that they're having now, technology, but that's the power of people getting at them and criticizing them, you know?
Yeah.
So they kind of got to go, well, yeah, you're right. You know, you're right. There's another guy. I forget his name, but he's on CNN. He's an older guy, but he what the hell is his name? He's not Lou Dobbs, but he's on with the Wolf Blitzer and Gafferty File. And he gets clobbered. Now, he's a liberal, but he gets clobbered by emails, and he puts up 10 or 20 emails every night, and it shows the kind of emails he's getting. And he gets clobbered. So it's like, after a while, it wears them down, you know? And that wearing down, people know what's going on, you know, and they're attacking them face-to-face. And that's a good thing, I guess. It's starting to break them. And the lies and the bullshit that have been coming out for years is starting to come through and starting to smell. So,
you know,
will be gone in a few years. Nobody will be listening to them anymore. But
no, that's true. That's true.
Yeah. You know, news will take another area, avenue. But
in looking at this whole situation, you know, there is a brighter side to it. There really is. And you paint such a bleak picture to it, and, you know, you give it no resurrecting abilities. And, you know, I see right now, if nothing else, it brings to the surface the corruption and that is not right. But that doesn't mean that, you know, it's going to burn in hell and it's going to be destroyed. I think what's going to happen is the foundation for turning it around and walking above it or going above it. And we can see it for what it is. And if nothing else, you know, it's the humility maybe that Obama does have openly that, you know, we sure the hell didn't see with Bush, that's for sure. But maybe it's that characteristic that we need to, you know, just open a spark in people's hearts and people's minds. Besides the fear and the hatred and you know, the bitterness that people have, we gotta understand that we all are the same and we all have the same characteristics. but we have to learn take more, in a sense, or have more compassion, you know, for not only for ourselves, for what we do, but also for other people. And it's, you know, it's that human nature, but it's that unity nature that we share with all life. You know, I mean, our lives affect not only our families, but also affect the life around us, including plants and animals and birds and stuff like
that. I have a different opinion about that, though, George. I really do. I mean, I understand unity consciousness with like minds, with people that are rational, people that make sense, people that are semi-enlightened, but I can't see unity consciousness.
Oh, that's not unity. That's not unity consciousness, Leo.
Well, sure it is. Sure it is.
Okay.
I mean, what's unity consciousness? Unity consciousness with somebody you totally disagree with, or who totally disagrees with you?
It goes beyond the polarity of that.
I don't think.
Go ahead.
So.
I'm sorry.
That's not the way it's going to work. You know, it can't work that way. I mean. If a guy comes up to you and smacks you, insults you, you know, or wants to throw a bomb at you, or wants to kill you, what do you do? You know, you say, yeah, okay. You know, I love you and kiss you, and you're my best buddy.
No, no. What you can do is step to the side and get out of that fear zone, but understand that, you know, some people are crazy. And, you know, that doesn't mean that their craziness has to interfere with your life unless you let it.
Oh, well, yeah. If you're walking,
I don't know.
If you're walking down the street and the guy shoots you from a gang, from a car or you know, whatever, or police come to your house for a search warrant to see if you're a terrorist, all right? Hey, I tell you, that's the kind of stuff. No, I don't have any love for that, and
yeah.
I don't have any tolerance for it. And it's those are the things that you have to fight. And I don't know. Maybe I'll go down in flames, but God damn it, I'm going to go down in flames before I go down and, you know, with my head in the sand. You know?
Yeah, well, I I'm not saying, you know, lay yourself down and just turn yourself over. But, you know, there are such things as a real threat and, real law. You know, it's like in the eyes of the government or the eyes of the law, you know, you're a criminal. If you break the law by a parking infraction, and let's say you got a parking ticket, from that point on, you are a criminal in the eyes of the government and the law, and they'll treat you accordingly. And you don't have the rights that a normal citizen would have because you are a criminal, regardless of, you know, the gravity of your disgrace or whatever.
Right. But, yeah, what can I tell you? I mean, that's the way it is. But,
yeah, but, you know, it's like real laws that we have. Some laws or statutes aren't really laws, but they have the power of law behind them. And, you know, it's just like the IRS. The IRS is basically a code. It's not law. And you're abiding by the code of the IRS, not by the laws of the IRS or even the government, because it doesn't incorporate that.
That's right.
So, you know, it's like an illusion. It's part of the illusion of the game that's being played right now. Over everything.
Yeah, but they don't incorporate it, but they enforce it, you know, and they enforce those codes. All
right.
So they were laws, and that's why people are in jail over it, or get these tax liens, or get wiped out by the IRS, and there's nothing you can really do about it.
Right.
There's very little bit you can do about it, and that's a serious, serious problem. That if they're coming after you, I mean I don't say, geez, I love those people who are coming after me that are trying to ruin me. I love them. I love them, and I'll pray for them, and I'll keep them in my heart, nice and warm. No, I think what I would do is fight tooth and nail in the courts to try to overturn it, you know, and keep them going until I possibly could. I don't know, but God damn it. I don't think I would let them walk over me to the extent that that they do to other people.
Yeah. No.
It's just I that's how I feel.
Well, that is part of the lifestyle I think that the Mayans are talking about that we'll break out of. That, you know, we are spiritual beings having a human experience, that we have the power, you know, to rise above this this illusionary stance that we find ourselves involved with.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's hard to believe that I do believe that we are holding up this whole reality that we are experiencing on an individual basis, and also on a collective basis. And, you know, maybe the Akashic Records or the Bible Code is just part of the graft of seeing this synchronicity that's in play right now that we are part of.
Well, tell me about this 999 and what not the nines, how significant the nines are. And
well, I think it's the completion process that we're experiencing. And, I was reading today with Kellerman's work. He was talking about this 999 process that starts, that runs in three different segments of 260 days in completing a Mayan calendar. And what this is that you're experiencing 9 degrees in consciousness on three different levels, just like with astrology. You have three different decades of the movements, and here you got movements of 260 days, and this actually started on September the 9th of this year. If you remember, it was 999, and that will run for 260 days to I think May the 15th or the 17th of 2010, next year. And it's from that, I think, in building from the ashes, or the things that we're changing through the six-day experience that we're experiencing now, it is the focus that this 999 will carry us. And that basically is the start of the unity consciousness. And part of, taking a look at government of Obama, it's part of the uniting of world peace. And even with this Nobel Prize, it is part of that process of recognizing, but putting it in motion as a new motion.
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah.
So, what's that lead to, George? I mean, where are we going here with this? I mean,
we kind of have to wait and see.
I think what we're experiencing now, we're looking for a spiritual revival or a spiritual focus for us as a world, you know, in a unity type of a mind or a unity focusness. And I think right now that is a building block that we're going to experience. And it's like a midpoint turn in the day cycles. Next May, which is the turn of the second cycle of nines that we'll experience, we'll take these ideas that we're formulating right now and actually put them in motion. It's like it's taken the knowledge that we've learned from this little incident we did today with the moon and the results from that, and actually taking it one step further, putting it in motion. So if nothing else, we are going to be focusing in on this new spiritual foundation that we're building right now, and that focus would be, I think, in July of 2010, next year, and the harmonic conversion, and that gets into more technical explanations. But we're going to experience a focus point in this convergence, and it will run until the following the following turn, which would be February of 2011, and that will run for 260 days, which would bring us in October, October of that year.
Yeah, you got music in the background, right?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Is it distractful?
I thought it might be.
Sometimes it's a bit hard to hear you.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
It's like those videos that with music running through them. You know, you can't make out what half of what people are saying.
Okay.
I
think what we're experiencing now is the higher states of consciousness on this physical dimension in the ninth degree. Now, I think we went through about 7 or 8 months ago, you know, the different relationships between the numbers and, you know, the physical representations and the movements that come out of them. But nine was the new reality that was formulated after, let's say, the fifth night of going through that polarity consciousness type of understanding, day and night, right or wrong, you know, left or right. And now we are out of that phase. Instead of identifying or separating, you know, in right or left or positive or negative, we accept it as being a force and deal with the unity of the energies and of the power. And that's what we're experiencing right now, the unity of where we are in our technology and our mindset, and putting it taking it forward now, but not on an individual platform, but a unity platform where everybody has a say and has a partake in the outcome.
Well,
I hope so.
I hope so, too.
I hope it makes sense, but I mean, I'll tell you, I just, it's so hard for me to see these people making any sense, you know, so many of these people that just...
Okay, that's all right, Leo, but, you know, don't get hung up with it. Understand that you're going to have that, so focus on the other end or acknowledge it and move on.
Last night I did a show last night where I read a thing called Are We Possessed? This guy, Paul Levy. And fascinating. I'm going to finish the article next week, but the fascinating thing about it is that what he said, and it was based on Carl Jung's work, but he said that we become possessed not only as individuals but as a nation,
mm-hmm.
right, by certain demonic entities. But what they're actually called, he calls them autonomic complexes. And what it is, it's stuff like greed or anger, frustration, jealousy, contempt, you know, all these things. But they take over the individual's mind. They take over his subconscious, and it gets into his subconscious. And what happens is he reacts to this in ways that he can't understand why he's reacting in such a way. And you know he brought up recently Serena Williams got crazy on the tennis court, where she got angry and started swearing and mouthing off to the
right.
judge. Well, he's saying that stuff like that is when you are so intense in your desire to win, or desire to compete, your desire to kill or whatever it is. You know, you become possessed by this a force, all right, or this neurosis, they call it, this complex, which takes over your personality, all right,
mm-hmm.
and you do things that are, you know, I know myself.
Yeah, but it's you. You're taking over the personality. It's nothing else, or any such taking over.
But no, what they're saying isn't that it's you. It's not you, all right. You are the more rational person. You are the more you're the person who can rationalize your emotions, but what happens is when you obsess with money, obsess with greed, obsess with power, obsess with whatever, fame, or obsess with whatever it is, that obsesses you in a detrimental way, all right, what you're doing is you're taking over this primitive, you're allowing this primitive force to take over your life, okay, to take over your will, and that's what happens. And he's trying to explain it in more contemporary terms, but nevertheless, he's saying that's what possession is. He says that's actually what it is. He says it used to be called spiritual or demonic possession, but he says that what it is you can explain it as a neurosis. You can explain it as a compulsion.
All right.
That takes over your life. Okay, or at least takes over your life for that short while, all right? But it still rages inside you. And I find myself, I mean, I, you know, certain things I get madder than hell at, and I can't help myself, you know. But at the same time, I'll eventually calm down and go on, and find a method to offset that, that anger. But at the same time, that anger did obsess me. It did get to me, you know.
Yeah, but you obsessed yourself. It's not something outside of yourself that did that. You did that to yourself.
No, what they say is when you link consciously to your unconscious, when the conscious and unconscious link together in this force is part of your unconscious, right? Then the unconscious takes over and the conscious submits itself to the unconscious. And the rage that you have, or the whatever that obsession is that you have, comes out and goes over and plows right over the, it could be violence, it could be anger, assault, it could be greed, it could be grief, you know, it could be anything.
I don't know if I completely, agree with all of that, Leo, but...
it's all right. It makes more sense to me than some, it makes sense to me in a way that I don't believe you can be, I don't believe that you can be possessed unless you want to be possessed,
mm-hmm.
or you know, and or you or there's a weakness in your DNA, or a weakness in your genetic build up that like, for instance, if you have Tourette's or something like that, where you know, you speak. You know, you can't control your verbal your verbal self. You know.
Well, yeah.
And your emotions take over and come out and you know, yell out or whatever things that you would normally keep to yourself. So I don't know. I the reason I said that was because I enjoyed that reading that article because it made some. Out of a very complex and very superstitious and very ancient kind of illusion.
But everything's falling into the pattern, though, Leo. Everything is falling into how the Mayans suggested it would be.
Yeah.
I find that the most amazing thing. And I just don't even know what to say about it because it's so amazing to me. All we say and all the talk and time marches on and it fits into that calendar, into those waves of change.
That were predicted.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
That's the part that I just find simply amazing.
We can fight
amazing.
It. We can, yeah, we fight it or we, you know, I guess we're not, there's no sense in fighting it, but damn,
no,
it
because
makes
it,
you mad.
It
makes
is,
you really
because
curious.
It just sort of is what it is, Leo.
Yeah.
Time has no negative, it has no positive, it's just time. And these waves of change have no negative, positive either, they just are.
They exist, you have to accept them for what they are. And that basically what that article said too, it gets in a little deeper, is that once you bring the evil, if you will, to the surface, once you identify it or name it, okay, then it has no more power. Right, so once you bring it to the surface and identify that you have it, then you give it a name and there it is. It's and you can control it at that point. You understand it. But
well, when do you stop being a hunter?
I don't know if you ever do.
You know, it's funny because I've made a lot of changes in the last couple of years. And I do have to say, I think it's because of the focus of the Mayans. And for years, you know, I used the news as a barometer of what the hell was going on in the world. I mean, as something of happening or something moving. And I find myself less and less watching TV to begin with. And even the news itself, I found myself that I was looking for the answers that I've been looking for so many years, you know, the answers or the reason why we do this and we do that. And, you know, I could spend a lot of time thinking about nothing, but just thinking about completing other people's games that are going on here. And when I say games, you know, you take a look at the commercials that you see, you know, on different time segments of the day. And, you know, it's actually amusement. And that's all it does is one big amusement. And, you know, I instead of looking to complete, you know, things or putting things in motion, I'd rather sit back and just watch them happen or fall as they may. And, you know, I wasn't looking for Obama to, you know, to receive the Nobel Prize this morning. But, you know, it's amazing to see how things came into the news or came into view. And, you know, you take a look at the reasons, the summation that you can make. And at this point, it could be bad. Or, I mean, you know, but there is a goodness to this, and I'd rather focus on that.
Well, I'm reminded of John Lennon, a song that he wrote called I'm Just Sitting There Watching the World Go Round and Round. I just want to watch it go. And he's just backing away from the whole thing and watching it go round and round. And, you know, he's tired of the fight. He's tired of the it doesn't make much sense. And he's just decided to back away from it and watch it go round and round, and you know, and enjoy what he can. So I thought that was significant. And that's basically what you're saying. You know, just sit back and watch the world go round and round, and try to find your place in it.
You know, who's to say that the possibilities aren't there? That, you know, all this. All the negative rhetoric we can make out of the reality today is just an illusion. You know, I remember back in the 70s and the 80s about all the predictions that were made, you know, for the years to come. You know, Edgar Cayce talked about California sinking into the Pacific, and you know, the changing of the oceans in the world. And, you know, none of these big predictions actually took place. They didn't happen. And who's to say that maybe somebody is just holding up that illusion or that reality instead of other realities that we can experience? With quantum physics, we know there are a number of realities manifesting at the same time. It's the ones that we focus in on that we experience. That doesn't mean that the illusionary ones that were put in motion aren't real. They are real, but they don't have the personal involvement which expands on them. Who's to say that there is some kind of a higher force that actually is taking all this negative stuff and having it pass underneath us and doing this purposely?
Oh, I think so. I think that's part of the creation, and I think that's part of what we are. I'm convinced that
part of the creation, yeah.
The grand sewer, you know, you know, it's like it's going under. It's underground. It's just there. It's part of being, and we have to eliminate that part of ourselves that we no longer can. That is poison to us, or that is, yes, you know, not nurturing us. And
yeah, but you can't eliminate it, Leo. You can deactivate it, maybe, but you can't eliminate it because that is part of you, and that made you who you are is through the experience that you experienced through it.
Well, let's say you eliminate the waste, just like your body, it eliminates the waste that it doesn't want.
Uh-huh.
I said that your body eliminates. So, you know, everything runs in circles. I mean, everything eliminates. The seas clean the earth. But everything is eliminated. You know,
yes.
Consumed mm-hmm. and eliminated. It's a big cycle. Consume, eliminate. Consume, eliminate.
And,
uh-huh. You know, you buy stuff and then you throw stuff away. You know, it's just the way that the world operates. It's
mm-hmm.
part of the rhythm of the universe. But as far as I'm concerned, it's no different than, I mean, evil in itself. Is you know this black aspect of our nature? I really don't want it.
Yes,
right?
But Leo, yeah, you have it there, but it's holding up that evil that gives it life.
No, it's not. It's not.
Evil it is. Sure, it is.
Nah, I don't think so. I don't think so. I disagree with you. I have to because evil is a darkness. It's darkness.
Sure, it is.
It's a killer, George. It kills you. It kills life. You know, it's drug addiction.
I agree.
Pain. It's sorrow. It's disease. It's, you know, these are things you don't want. These are things you don't need in your life. All right, and definitely things that, you know, you don't want to carry with you if you ascend to a higher state of consciousness. You definitely don't want to bring these along if you don't. Unless you have to.
Well, you will bring them along, Leo.
Yeah, but I don't want to, George.
Well, you can't help it. You will.
No, I don't. I don't think I want to. I don't think I want to. I don't think I will.
But you will, Leo. You can't get away from that.
I'll make a concerted effort to get rid of it. I'll tell you that. Because
okay.
I don't. I mean, why? You know, I remember this lecture I was at. This teaching by Sakya Trism. Was a patriarch of the Buddhist, the patriarch, and he said that the only way you get off that samsara wheel is that only
if you recognize what's happening, you get off it and you make a change.
That's right. You know,
but people are blind to their.
Yeah.
We're blind, and it's like our brain only operates on half
and
systems
it's only,
anyway.
It's only through wisdom and compassion,
right?
Right. For having compassion for you know life.
For the healing and for the healing,
to understand
yeah.
what you can and can't change, right, will get you off that samsara wheel.
Otherwise,
you're
destined to repeat, and that's what's happened in this planet.
Right.
We are basically on the samsara wheel.
That's right.
And some people will leave that wheel, and others will continue on it.
That's right. Some will ascend and break away from their
and they will be on a different journey.
They'll be on a different journey.
But they will be on a different journey, but you have to understand that something is motivating or pushing you in that direction, and that's because of the negative aspects you're running away from. So, you know, what you're saying is right. It may be the right thing to do.
I understand that
the opposite force is there, if nothing else, to show you or give you something to choose from. So it served its purpose. Even though it's not the good purpose you're looking for, but it served a purpose for you to have the discretion of seeing the difference and picking the difference.
I believe it's a third dimensional choice, and I think once you go beyond that, you know, you're beyond evil,
That's right. So you acknowledge it for its purpose that it gave to you, but that doesn't mean you know you can throw it away. You can't, because that's just as powerful or real as the opposite, and that's the part of the polarity.
Yeah, but it leaves you because I'm thinking of what the Mayans said, in the ethical period that you didn't need the period of ethics because. That is right now that we're in is the time when we have to cleanse ourselves, cleanse society, cleanse it of all this evil so that we can move on, okay,
mm-hmm.
to a higher state where we don't have this drag on us, okay?
Right.
That we can, so that, you know, you don't have this following you around, and you have this knowledge, and it's a breaking away of this ignorance.
Right. It's the cleansing of the artificial ways of our lives.
Right. Right.
And those things that are only temporary, that are not real, or, you know, they're illusionary. They have to be seen for what they are, and you have to make the choice if you want to hold on to it or not.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. And I think at that point we'll make it. But if you're going to hold on to it, it's going to drown you. It's going to keep you down. If you let it go, it'll let you ascend.
But sometimes it will take you down. But some people need to go down to experience that.
Well, that's what happens. I mean, and that's not necessarily bad either, George.
Oh.
Because there, I don't see any good or bad to this at all. It's just your journey, and you're not gonna. No one is gonna.
It can be an extremely painful one.
Oh yes, it is.
Make the wrong choice.
Well, the samsara wheel is.
But it's the unity of knowing that you have both sides that you can experience and do experience. But it's the unity of not picking one or the other. It's the unity together. They work in tandem to give you a clear picture of the course you have in front of you.
Yeah, I suppose that it's true. And narrow.
I don't think it's. But I don't always think it's so
like
clear.
It's like two big walls that are pressing in on you.
Yeah.
But you know, and narrowing your pathway. But I don't know.
You know, an example of that is a human body. You realize that, you know, one side of your body is different than the other side if you look in a mirror.
Mm-hmm.
So understand that there is the unity where you have positive and negative, right and left, working together in union with one another instead of one is better than the other. But that is the unity that we live, that is part of our life, that makes up our biological our body. But it's with thought and so forth, you have the same thing. You do have something that are different, and understand that there's a unity or there's a connection with it that is part of that. And instead of focusing in on one or the other, it's both of them in tandem. They're the unity. They work in tandem with one another, just like you work with in tandem with your conscious and your subconscious mind in the illusion that you put out there and you experience.
But the problem is that what I talked about earlier, is that the unconscious mind takes over the conscious mind.
Oh, sure, it can, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it violates the boundary, if you will, and you become the beast, you know. And as far as I'm concerned, I would rather get rid of that area, of that part of me, if I can. If I can possibly rid myself if I could rid myself of all hatred, all discomfort, all pain, all things that are horrible.
Take all the fun out of it. Yeah, go ahead.
I think I'd be a happier man. I think I'd be a much more peaceful and happy man. But I try. I've tried, and I keep continue to try. But I still fall, and hopefully by the time I reach a certain period in my life, another stage, I'll be alive.
That's
you know,
goal.
Leo, in looking at the subconscious, you know that's part of us.
The Christhood that we're each trying to achieve, and that's basically what Leo is talking about. And when you truly achieve that, then you ascend.
Yeah.
And that can happen for each one of us, and some do it in a shorter time, and some it takes
many returns.
Many, many returns, I guess. Some of us are a little slow learners.
Yeah, like hundreds of times, you know, back here to.
And I believe
your teeth kicked in, you know. So it's like, you know, here you go. But they say you're supposed to choose your karma. You choose your when you come back, how you come back. But,
well, you choose.
Like I say, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's true.
You choose it by the choices that you've made.
Yeah. So, anyway, George, believe it or not, it's already time. Time's already up. But we, you know, it was good talking to you tonight, and we'll.
And enjoyed the article you sent over, George.
Yeah. You got any final thoughts there?
No, other than I'll keep an eye out for. I think. For next month, you know, I'm looking for the change, and right now we're going into a change,
well,
and
nice.
In another month or so we're going to be going into the sixth night.
Yeah.
And I find myself now focusing in on that. Yeah.
Well, you know what fascinated me was we started this show on November, I think it was November 22nd, 06.
Okay.
Right at the beginning of the fifth day, I believe, or fifth night. I forgot, fifth day or fifth night. Fifth day. We're entering the fifth day, and so we'll be experiencing now the sixth night, and it'll be fascinating, George. It's been a fascinating ride, isn't it?
Yeah, it has been. It has been.
Yeah, and we recorded it all on Blog Talk Radio. So.
There you go. You know, the night period that we're going in now is not going to be bogged down with, I think, with the polarity of thinking that we have been focused in on, you know, the right and wrong and good and bad. This night experience that we're experiencing is very illusionary, and it's going to be like an illusion or like a dream or a subconscious dream. It's going to be coming real in a real reality. So it's going to be a different nighttime experience, that's for sure.
Well, that's why I think that article is very very on target, because we're entering a period where the subconscious will take over for a while, and we'll have to be battling with all of our demons, and that's what he's saying. The possession will take over. You have to be aware of it. Call it forward. Call it up. And identify it and cast it out, and that's essentially what we're doing. And we just have to keep identifying our demons, but
and those around us,
and those, because it affects the individual as well as the nation.
Should I get my fishing gear out, Leo?
What?
The catch of stuff that's coming our way.
You might.
Yeah, it's a bit more like a tsunami, man. I don't think you're gonna have the chance to just run to the highest hills.
There you go.
It's going to come in like a tsunami, where no one's going to believe it, but until they're, you know, over their head in water.
There you go.
All right. So
it's been great talking with you guys, and there's a lot of stuff on the internet. I think with Kellerman's work that's coming to the surface, and I wish I had some websites to pass on here, but you know, with Google and so forth. There's a lot that's being written on the Mayan focus. You know,
yeah,
from
a lot of people are interested. So we'll talk again soon.
Okay. Have a good night, guys.
Good night, George.
Good night, George.
Have a good weekend.
God be with you. Bye-bye.
And we want to thank everybody for joining us. And please tell your friends about it and refer the show to them. And we will be back next Wednesday. And I hope you enjoy. Good night.